Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 153 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk some boys golf tonight as the season heads into the home stretch. The state meet is just a little more than 3 weeks away, so both the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial teams are gearing up for their last few meets before the district meet on October 5th. I'll be talking with both head coaches tonight, and leading off is the head coach of the Centennial squad. His team boasts a 5-0 dual record in the CIML Iowa Conference and is currently ranked 7th in the state. He is Rick Fee. Rick, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, I know you had some high expectations coming into the season, and so far so good. You guys have been pretty consistent and certainly showing that you're one of the top teams in the state, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Eight of the top 10 returning, so there was a lot of bright points leading up to the season, and the boys have not disappointed, to say the least.
Well, I mentioned that you guys are 5-0 in the conference, that you really only had one close conference dual meet, and that was the one against a number 10 Marshalltown on August 30th at Briarwood, where you guys came out with a two-stroke victory. You have just one conference dual meet left. You have to go to Mason City on Tuesday to face the Mohawks. You know, but you've got a chance to finish the season unbeaten in the league. You know, that'd be a nice accomplishment, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I'm not sure if we've ever done that before. We may have done it back in 2013, the first year of the school, but since then we've come in second a couple times, but winning the regular season conference title is definitely something that we want to strive for every year, and I'm happy we put ourselves in that situation this year.
Well, your latest dual meet win came against your crosstown rival. On Tuesday, you guys traveled over to Otter Creek, and you defeated Ankeny 145-156. Your team had four scores of 37 or better, led by medalist Lawson Hackmeister with a 1-under par 35. You know, that meet really showed what you guys are capable of, didn't it?
Absolutely. We played there a week prior, and we had four scores under 80 as well, and the conditions were a little different that day, but it's a course the kids play just as much as Briarwood, so they're used to it. They know what the greens do, and they know what the conditions can do to the course, so they were able to play well. I mean, the day was great. There was hardly any wind. The sun was out, and it's probably the nicest we've ever had to play that course.
Well, then Jack Winkle was the runner-up with a 36, and he's been your leader all season. He currently boasts a nine-hole average of 37.3. He's been a two-time medalist and a three-time runner-up this season, and he really hasn't had a bad round yet. You know, it must be reassuring for you to know that, you know, he's pretty much going to post a solid score every time out.
Yeah, I'm going to knock on wood before you go any further with that. But yeah, Jack's been a horse for us. We know what we can expect from him, and he knows what he can offer the team, and everybody looks to him to post a great score and get us started on the right foot. So his leadership and his ability to consistently shoot low allows us to be competitive, and it's just something that we bank on, and everyone kind of feeds off the energy that he provides.
Well, then Hackmeister also has a sub-40 average at 38.9. He shot a 71 on August 17th to earn medalist honors in a dual meet win over Ames. You know, so he's had a couple of really good rounds, but I know he had an 82 on Monday in the Turk Bowman Invitational at Vinker, as well as a couple of 43s in nine-hole meets. You know, so he really seems like a key guy for your squad. When he shoots well, boy, you're just that much better.
Yeah, Lawson, he knows that he can shoot just the same as Winkle on any given day, and I expect from him to be subpar or sub 75 on a regular basis. And going back to the Vinker Ames event, he shot a 44 on the front and followed it up with a 38. So he definitely rebounded and improved by six, where a lot of kids may have had that 44 and then said, well, this round's over and I'm just going to shoot another 44 and finish with an 88 or something like that. So he really grinded, got back into it, and put his head down and came out strong for us.
Well, that's a tough course too, so 82 isn't that bad.
Yeah, Vinker is a course that you want the kids to play because it actually gives you an idea of what kids can do around the golf course, because there are so many ways to lose a ball and so many ways to make a big number. And I'm sure we'll talk about this here in a little bit about districts, but we have to go back there again. And,
right.
We've had good success and bad success there, so it's a give and take, and it's a course that makes high school golf difficult.
We have four other guys with averages right around 40. You have Ben Meyer, Kellen Welsh, Danny Paulson, and Ethan King. And Caden Kelling has also been a varsity regular for much of the season. He has a 42.2 average. You know, those guys have all stepped up at various times with really good rounds, and that's what you need from those 3-6 guys, isn't it?
Absolutely. When we had to beat Marshalltown, we actually took the number 5 score from Caden Kelling and the number 6 score from Ben Meyer, and Ben tied for the medalist with a 35 one under at Briarwood. So just knowing that any given day you have a five and a six, a four, five, and six man who can come in and post a score, and you're not just dependent on your one, two, and three player.
Well, you guys opened the season August 16th by winning the Jesse Peck Invitational at Briarwood for the fifth straight time. Now, that tournament was renamed after Jesse this year, and of course, you know, he's a former standout for the Jaguars. I thought that was a really nice way to honor his memory. I imagine his family was really touched that you guys did that. Did you get some feedback from them?
Yeah, Amy and Todd were able to make it out that day. They were helping Drake move into Iowa State, but they made the drive back to town to watch us get the tournament underway. And they're great people. The whole family in general, they're awesome to be around, and they've supported the program for years, going back to all the sons that have played
right
for the program. So it's the least that we can do, and he'll never be gone. So it's something that needs to keep happening, and whether I'm the coach or somebody else is the coach, it's always something that we need to make sure that we remember.
Sure. Well, your team has placed third or higher at three other tournaments. You got third at both the Fort Dodge invite on August 31st and the Turk Bowman invite on Monday, and you finished second at the Ankeny invite last Wednesday. So to this point, you've only lost to four different teams. You finished two strokes behind number two Dowling at the Ankeny invite, and then a number four Waukee was the winner of those other two tournaments. But I'm sure you feel like, you know, you guys learned some things at each of those events.
Yeah, like we've talked about in our recaps of every tournament we play, we got to get off to a better start, and we got to be able to finish. Our first 2 to 3 holes and our last 2 to 3 holes, we seem to make some big numbers as a group. And those are the ones that'll get you, because we can play great for 14 holes. We could win a tournament for 14 holes. But if we can't start positive on the first two and we can't end positively on the last two, then those 14 holes kind of go to waste. So I'm trying to instill that in the players, and I think they're starting to understand that we just got to get out there and play the same even-keeled round mentally and physically, so we don't have those doubles and triples or that one bad hole or that one questionable hole in the beginning or in the end.
All right, your schedule coming up here, you'll play in the Marshalltown Invitational tomorrow. You go to the Southeast Polk Invite next Wednesday. And then on September 28th, you'll play in the conference meet at Otter Creek, where you'll have a chance. You know, you probably like your team's chances after shooting a 298 there last week.
Absolutely. That's a course where you can play well, but there's also holes that you can't take for granted, depending on the weather. And we were lucky the last couple times we played, it hasn't been too windy. Usually it's soaking wet, it's windy, it's cold. There's something that puts an adverse to the player's score. It makes it hard for them to post a good score. So as long as we can get around there without making a big number, I think we'll be okay. And like I said, it's like a second home to our boys, because it's right down the road from Briarwood, where they all live.
Well, and then after that, like you mentioned, on October 5th, you'll go back to Vinker for the district meet, you know, and that's where it's all going to be on the line. Vinker's not only a really tough course, but you guys drew a really tough district. You're going to have Dowling there and number five Johnston, as well as Indianola and Southeast Polk, who are two teams that have already defeated you at various tournaments. You know, so finishing among the top three teams there, I mean, it's not going to be easy, is it?
No, it seems like every year we've been lucky. The last three out of four, we've been sent to Sioux City, and it seems like a great – you have to drive 3 hours, but it seems like you get a better draw when you go there. Sioux City East has really picked up their game, so they've started to get in the mix of the three teams that qualify. I'm happy that the Hawks get to go there, because that gives them, I think, a better chance to qualify for state. But, yeah, Vinker is going to be very, very challenging, because I think when I last time I looked, there's six of the top 17 teams in the state that are at, because Norwalk is also a very good program. They were tied with us after nine holes at the Vinker invite. And then they just had a bad back nine, and that's where they kind of slipped off. But they post some good scores, and it's just going to be difficult to get through there. But at the end of the day, you got to be one of the top three, and you don't care. We want to win, obviously, but if we're first, second, or third, that's all that counts, so we can keep playing.
Well, you guys shot a 308 at Vinker on Monday and finished two shots behind Southeast Polk. I know you don't have any idea, you know, what the conditions are going to be like there in a few weeks, but if you could shoot another 308 at the district meet, you know, would you take that? Do you think that score would be good enough to qualify?
Off the top of my head, I want to say you got to be sub-305, closer to 300 if you want to have a chance. We always try to put a number in our head, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But I honestly think it's got to be sub-305 to get out of there, depending on what the conditions are that day.
Well, if you guys are fortunate enough to qualify, the state meet will be held on October 8th and 9th at Beaver Hills Country Club in Cedar Falls. Now, I'm guessing that most of your guys, you know, aren't familiar with that course. Have you had a chance, or will you have a chance to play a practice round there?
I know some of the guys have gone up on the weekends, and they've taken a look at it. It's a course that some have played in junior events during the summer, so it's not as close as Des Moines Golf, obviously, but it's something that they have seen and they're used to, and as used to as you can just by playing one round. But just seeing it is the biggest thing, so you're kind of familiar on where you can and can't miss.
Is there anything unique about that course?
It's not super long, so it's very like point and shoot, so you don't have to bomb it like Deschambeau does. It's just go from point A to point B to point C, and then yeah, it's more target golf. So you can put the big stick away, but you got to make sure that you can hit a golf ball straight. And that, I mean, that's golf in general, but you got to be able to execute shots, and getting sideways is what's going to get you in trouble.
Well, I'm sure you feel like if your team can survive that district tournament, you know, that would certainly prepare you for the state meet. And I know you told me earlier this season that this team had the potential to maybe be better than your state runner-up squad from 2015, you know, but you've got to get there first in order to prove it, don't you?
Absolutely. Nothing's given. You got to go out and take it. If you leave the door open, somebody else is going to walk through it. So we have to be able to, like I said, finish and start in a manner that allows us or puts us in position to come in at the end with a decent score, because I know everyone's looking to achieve the same goal, and at that time of the year, it's make or break. Either we win or we go home, and that's when things start get important, and those 3-4 footers, they become harder and more intense for the players.
Well, Cedar Falls is currently ranked number one in the state, and I'm guessing the Tigers are pretty familiar with that course up there. Assuming they make it to state, you know, do you think they're going to be pretty tough to beat?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Waukee's home course is pretty much Des Moines Golf because they're all members there for the most part. And then the following year, I think Cedar Falls got second last year, and then the next year we go to their home course. So it makes it challenging, but, I mean, we can't control where the state sticks us, and we just have to go out and play the golf course to the best of our ability and hope our score matches up to the other schools.
Well, of course, Waukee is the 3-time defending champion, and they did have the split into the two schools this year, but you've seen them a couple of times, and they're obviously still very good. Do you think they have a team that could win it again?
Absolutely. Tanner Denenbeer is playing out of his mind right now. He's won 3 straight events, so he's only a junior, so he's going to be back, so that's not good news for everybody else, but he's a great kid. Their new coach is awesome. I've talked to him a little bit, and even though John Coates retired, he definitely built a program and instilled a lot of knowledge into that program to where they're just feeding off of the past successes that they've had. So the best thing that we can do is we can go out and play our game. Like I said to the guys, it doesn't matter who we're playing with, what the course conditions are, or any of that outside jargon. All we can do is take care of our own business and worry about our own game one shot at a time.
Well, these next few weeks should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you are. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Rick. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
You bet.
One last thing I want to give a shout out to is our JV team. They've done a heck of a job this season, and they've had great leadership from Dean Smith. So they've been working hard on the side, and they've been really pushing our varsity guys to be the best that they can be to keep their spot in the top 6.
All right, shout out to Dean. Dean's a good guy. All right, thanks, Rick. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, well, my other guest tonight is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny squad. His team took a 2-3 record in the CIML Iowa Conference into today's dual meet against visiting Mason City, so we're going to find out how the Hawks did right now. He is Mike Weddingfeld. Mike, thanks for coming in here straight from the golf course. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, let's talk about today's meet first. You know, how'd you guys do?
We did well. We ended up winning. We shot 153 to 174, so got one in the win column, so that's always feels good.
Oh, well, congratulations. Who led the way for you today?
We actually had a 3-way tie. Drew Henson, Avon Legg, and Connor O'Brien all shot 38. And then Evan Chapman, Jake O'Brien shot 39, and Sam Parkinson shot 42. So played pretty well. Yeah,
good scores. Well, we'll talk about most of those guys here in a minute. This has obviously been a rebuilding season for your team. You guys placed 5th in the Class 4A state meet last year, and that was your highest finish since 2011. But unfortunately, you had to replace all 6 of those guys from that team. I know you told me at the beginning of the year that your goals hadn't changed, but that your expectations would, you know, certainly be adjusted a little bit. But at this point, you know, are you happy with the progress that you guys are making?
Yeah, I am. You know, with the young team, you know, we were fortunate to have those guys that all graduated for, you know, 300 played for all 4 years. So a lot of these guys haven't played these golf courses. And I've said it before to you that, You know, it's not a basketball court or a football field. Every golf course is different. So when these kids haven't seen these golf courses, you kind of go in blind. And we play some difficult golf courses that you have to know where to go, where to place the ball. And after you've played them a few times, it definitely builds your confidence. You know, that's why teams play better on their home course usually. So the kids are doing a great job. I have some, a lot of the kids are going to these courses on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday with dad or whatever, and playing some of them. So they've at least seen them before we play them that following week. So they're working hard at it. It's just a process, and we're young, and I get it. But we're improving, so that's what we wanted to do all year long.
Well, you guys did have a couple of nice dual meet wins earlier over Ames and Fort Dodge. You had a couple of close losses, too. You lost to Waukee Northwest by 7 shots on September 7th. And then on Tuesday, you fell to Ankeny Centennial by 11 strokes to Otter Creek. You know, and that's only 2 or 3 strokes for each of your 4 scoring rounds. So you're really not that far from being pretty competitive.
No, exactly. When you're counting 4 guys, you know, if each guy can shave 2, you know, cut off 2 strokes, you know, you're looking at 8 strokes right there, which is easier said than done. Right. I get that. But, you know, Centennial the other night shot fantastic. If you... You know, if they can shoot that for the whole 18-hole round, that's a 290. That's pretty tough to beat. So they played really, really well. And so I wasn't down on my guys. We played as well as we can. Could have been a few shots better. You know, we were 3 shots better tonight in tougher conditions. But that's golf. We kind of live and die by our top 2 or 3 guys. You know, if Drew goes low like he did up at Fort Dodge and shoots a 1 over 72, you know, that makes a big difference for us as a team. That's 6-7 strokes for one guy. Avon is capable of doing that. And some of the other guys can, I think, break into those 70 scores once we get that confidence there. So, yeah, we can shoot better, but where we're at, I've been happy with it.
Well, you mentioned Centennial, and you've seen a lot of them this year. You've now lost to them 4 times. The Jaguars are 5-0 in the conference, and they're on track to win the league's dual meet title. But you finished only 2 strokes behind them up there at the Fort Dodge Invite on August 31st. So that was certainly one of your better days.
It was. And like I said, you know, Drew shot really well up there. Avon shot well. The other guys shot well for them, you know, kept it in the low 80s. So we're capable of competing. You know, anything can happen in golf. We get 3 or 4 guys that shoot their best, and their 3 or 4 guys shoot their worst. You know, anything can happen, and you just hope that doesn't happen on the most important day of the year, which is districts.
Right. Well, I do want to ask you about some of your individuals, but I just wanted to get your quick thought on the Centennial team while we're talking about them. I was just talking with Coach Fee, and, you know, they're currently ranked 7th in the state, and I know they have a tough district assignment up there at Vinker, but if they can get through there, I mean, do you think that that's a team that could challenge for a state title?
I do. You know, I'm sure that they'll are preparing by going and playing the state golf course. You know, the Waukee's always good. I've seen them a couple times this year, and I think they've won both the tournaments we saw them at. So they're going to be tough, but like I said, it just takes a day of shooting it, and they're obviously capable of doing that. And so they're a good team.
And I talked with him about, you know, of course, Cedar Falls is going to host the meet, and they're ranked number 1 right now, so they're going to be tough to beat on that course.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I don't know the answer, but to try to find a course that will host and have somebody be able to host and make it fair for everybody, which doesn't happen very often. It is what it is, but it's definitely an advantage to have that home course.
Well, let's talk about some of your individuals now. Your team has been led this season by a sophomore, Drew Henson. He currently I lost my place here. We currently boast an average. He leads the team. Let's put it that way. And he's been the Melst a couple of times. I mean, for a guy who came into the season without any varsity experience, I mean, he's really become a solid number 1 player, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I knew he would be. He was right there battling last year. I just felt like some of the other guys that played in his spot were so close, and them being a little bit older and him being only a freshman is probably why he didn't play as much last year. But I knew he played all summer. He's a member out at Ankeny Golf where I am, and every time I was there, he was there. So I knew he'd play a lot of tournaments, and he's just he works hard at it. He's level-headed. He's much more mature as a golfer than a sophomore. So I knew he would really lead us. And like I said, we kind of live or die by him a little bit. If he can go low, that really helps the team. He's capable of going low. The last few meets, he hasn't played his best, but I'd rather have him fumble a little bit now and then shoot his best now and his worst later in postseason. So I think he's doing well, and he's getting that confidence, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, he does have an average of 38.6, or I found my place here on my list of questions. Avon Legg has been your number two player most of the season. He currently boasts a 41.8 average. But unfortunately, Avon has been playing with a skinned up hand right now, which is courtesy of Under the Lights the other night. And Jacob Adams missed the meet on Tuesday due to a wrist injury that he also suffered at Under the Lights. And you also told me that Jake O'Brien has been having some back spasms since Sunday. So your guys are kind of beat up right now, aren't they?
They are, and that's not something that usually you think about too much in golf. You know, that's more of like football, who's out of the lineup. But just unfortunate. You know, they were out having fun. It's homecoming week. I get it. I'm glad it wasn't anything more serious. I don't really know yet where Jacob Adams is at. He didn't play again tonight. He's not going to play tomorrow at Marshalltown, kind of see how he feels on Saturday, if he goes Monday or not. He's been to the doctor, and they think it could get better. So I don't know that it's season ending. I hope not, but, you know, it's just one of those things. And Avon's a tough kid. You know, like I said, he played well tonight. His hand was scraped up a little bit, but it's a nuisance, but nothing huge. And I guess talking to Jake O'Brien, he's had some back spasms off and on over the years. Don't really know what causes it. So hopefully that was just a couple-day thing. And he was looking good tonight and feeling a lot better. So it was a tough week for us. Like I said, it's homecoming. It's the fourth week of school. We had, you know, four meets in 5 days this week. So it's just a grind. Plus, I hope the kids are keeping up on their schoolwork. So I'm sure they're worn out and tired, and,
oh, sure.
And I get it. And they're young, so I'm tired and I'm old.
Well, I don't know what goes on at that Under the Lights, but next year you may have to put those guys in bubble wrap or something.
I know, I know. I want them to have fun, but you always cringe a little bit when they want to go to those things. It's just, especially going into postseason, I hope we use our head I'm sure other coaches will understand if they don't make it to open gym or something for a couple weeks, just so we can stay healthy and put forth our best effort.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned the four meets in 5 days. Tomorrow you guys go to the Marshalltown Invitational, and then you'll go to the Indianola Invitational on Monday, and then the Southeast Polk Invitational on Wednesday. And then after that, on September 28th, you're going to host the conference meet at Otter Creek. So the schedule doesn't really slow down too much in the next 2 weeks, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And some nights it's just nice to, you know, hit a few balls at the range and kind of work on your game. And this week, you know, last night we had that chance to do that a little bit, and I think that helped us tonight play a little bit better. Not that we played bad on Tuesday, but just a night to slow down. But to play competitive golf 4 out of 5 nights after school, you know, just there's a lot going on in these kids' life. And so to expect their 100% best all the time, is, you know, I've been doing this long enough that I know. And hopefully we can find a night to give them a night off and catch up on schoolwork and just sit at home and relax.
Well, then after the conference meet, you're going to head to Whispering Creek in Sioux City on October 5th for the district meet. And obviously that's the day, you know, where you're really hoping to put everything together. It's all on the line, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, I like our district as far as the teams that are there, at least seeing them up at Fort Dodge. I know that we can compete with most of the teams over there that are in that district. But the downside is it's, you know, 3.5-4 hours drive, so it's hard to run over and just play a quick practice round on the weekend. And I know that some of the kids have been there already and have done that, and I applaud them for that, but it's definitely a course that you need to see multiple times. It's got some tricky holes. We were there 2 years ago. The wind blew probably 40 miles an hour, and I couldn't even stand up sometimes. So,
oh, wow.
Knock on wood, we have a nice calm day because the course is tough enough by itself without adding the weather in there. But we'll just go do our best and see what we can do. And I know, like I said, the guys will try to get over another time and play it, but just wish it was a little closer venue.
Well, yeah, you guys were there in 2017 too. So to be sent there 3 times in 5 years, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It seems like once we get a golf course and a site, the state likes to kind of keep it there. As long as they'll got somebody to host, it makes it easy for everybody, I guess. I'm pretty sure Vinker's hosted the last couple years, and they're hosting again this year. So not that that's bad. It's just, it's nice when you're close. And, you know, last year we were at Willow, the kids could run down after school and play a quick 9, 10, 11 holes, see it several times. And you can't do that at Whispering Creek. Takes your whole weekend.
Well, since you've been there a few times, I mean, what is the key to being successful on that course?
You really got to be consistent. You've got to hit fairways. You don't have to be real long, but you've got to hit fairways and greens. And your putter's got to be on. I mean, it's rolling hills, and it's hitting from low elevation to really high elevation. Everything's way up high. Like I said, when the wind blew, it really blew because you're up in that elevation so much on that golf course. So it's just a course that you look out and there's nothing there, but the fairways are not very wide. And so to really keep the ball in play is tough out there.
Well, you mentioned that you like the field there. Fourth-ranked Waukee is in that field. And, of course, they're the three-time defending state champion. You've already seen them a couple of times this year because they won both the Fort Dodge invite and the Turk Bowman invite on Monday at Vinker. I know they split this year into the two high schools, but obviously they still have a really good team. I mean, do you think they have a team that could still win state this year?
Oh, definitely. From what I've heard, I think most of their kids returning from last year's team stayed at Waukee High. So I think, you know, they've got the experience, they've got the talent. So, yeah, I think they're probably one of the top defenders. I don't get to see Cedar Falls in those much. It's hard to look at scores online because every golf course is different, so right. Depending on what course you're playing. But I'm sure it'll be a battle. I'd love to be there to see it.
Well, there are 14 teams in your district field, but I think the next highest-ranked teams are number 17, Waukee Northwest, and number 18, Sioux City East, and then you guys aren't too far behind them. So, yeah, I mean, you got to feel like that's a district where if you guys have a good day, that you have a good opportunity to make it to state.
Exactly. You know, I don't know the rankings of all the teams over at Vinker, but I know they're a lot tougher and a lot higher ranked right now than the teams over there. So, yeah, if I have to go somewhere looking at the team-wise, that's the place to be, and we'll just hope that we have our best day and let the chips fall where they do.
Do you know how the association splits the teams up? I mean, do they try to do it geographically, or do they try to split up some of the best teams? Or?
It's both, geographically a little bit. They didn't release the district sites till a little bit later this year, and I heard that they were trying to get some scores posted to kind of see where people were at. Obviously, with the talent that's over at Vinker, I don't know that they accomplished that, but it's also hard to send a team, you know, 200 miles away to play just because they're a better team.
Right.
So you kind of have to keep them in their region as well.
Right, right. Well, it should be a fun next few weeks. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you and your team are as well. So, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Mike.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had boys golf coaches Rick Fee from Centennial and Mike Wedingfeld from Ankeny. Both those teams are playing pretty well right now, and I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. I think they have a chance to do some really good things. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.